And welcome to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu. New York City is one of the largest cities on planet Earth, and right now, Mayor Eric Adams is desperately crying out, "We're full." Of course, that's nonsense. New York City isn't full. If New York's population were teeming with highly skilled immigrants from Japan or Germany or Norway, they would all be ecstatic at that prospect. But those highly talented immigrants aren't moving to New York like they once did. Today, highly skilled people, the people with options, are getting out of New York. And who is coming to New York? Well, everyone else. The people without options, without skills, without the ability to support themselves, they're coming because in the age of the internet, the cell phone, and the airplane, word has gotten out. It's open season in America. If you can get to the U.S.-Mexico border and say the right things, you will be let in. Sure, you might be given a court date years in the future, but you can blow that off and nothing will ever happen to you. Red states have wised up. We don't want these immigrants. The Border Patrol is overwhelmed, so they're doing what they always do in cases like this. They're simply dumping migrants on buses and sending them into the big cities. Make it somebody else's problem. Well, now it's New York City's problem, and they are howling. The migrants are like a hot potato. Nobody wants to be stuck holding them for too long, to be stuck with them when it's all said and done. They're just a burden to be passed around, and New York City residents are being stuck with the bill. Entire hotels are being converted into migrant shelters, ravaged by disease and crime. And as a result, some of the city's iconic restaurants are shutting down entirely because doing business is impossible when their entire area of business has become a migrant hellhole. Oh, and by the way, this hints at another important fact. Hotels are turning themselves into migrant shelters because normal travel to New York City has collapsed and never truly recovered post-COVID. The city's insane lockdowns and vaccine mandates, combined with its already sky-high taxes, may finally have killed what was once America's greatest city. Viral News NYC is an independent on-the-ground journalist in New York covering the madness of the city, including this recent migrant invasion. And one of his posts just went mega viral, showing Mayor Adams trying to defend his conduct from outraged Queens residents. Watch.
No.
To say, it's this mess at the border that we don't have people coming in our
community. But Mr. Mayor, not in our neighborhood.
Let me finish and I'm going to let you finish. I'm going to finish and I'm going to hear from you one at a time. I'm not going to be yelled at. If you want to engage in a conversation, I'm willing to do that.
Okay.
When you say not in any neighborhood, every neighborhood should have to go through this. I have almost 100,000 people that has been dropped in my city that the law is saying this is what you have to do, Eric. I called on the White House. I'm calling on the state. This should not be happening to New York City.
This should not be happening to New York City, is what he said. So he's also captured other insane moments from this invasion, like this clip of migrants being processed like cattle at the Roosevelt Hotel. Watch this.
Yep.
So the man behind Viral News NYC joins us now. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show, sir.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. So what's the temperature on the ground? I mean, we saw those residents confronting the mayor. Have people had enough? People don't want their towns overrun with illegal immigrants?
I think that's the case, Paul. I think people had enough and they're outraged. They're having protests and rallies all over due to this migrant crisis and putting migrants in residential areas. People are scared, Paul. And I'm on the ground and I speak to people. You know, I make friendships with people and relationships with them so I can understand them better and how they're feeling. And they're outraged that they don't want this in this area.
You know, what's interesting is I have criticized this strategy from red states, especially ones like Texas for putting the migrants on the bus. I mean, I understand why they're doing it. I also know, it makes for good clicks. You know, the Republicans are sticking it to the blue city mayors and that sort of thing. But in reality, they could stand up to the federal government and actually secure the border with more extreme measures. But instead of doing that, they are taking immigrants, many of whom have diseases, and they're busing them further into the country, essentially solidifying their presence here. Do you think that's a good idea? I mean, as a resident of New York, I can't imagine that you do.
Well, I'm more neutral. I don't go left. I don't go right. I'm more common sense, Paul. And yes, I think they need to secure the border. And I think the mayor is asking for help. In that video, he asked, he's like, I need your help to secure the borders. And you know what? At this moment, we're not helping anyone. We're hurting people, regardless on the left or the right. We're hurting the migrants and we're hurting the residents. Mm-hmm. So we got to think common sense now, right? If it's not turning out the way they thought it's going to turn out, then maybe we should slow it down or completely stop it until we figure out what's going on. You know, that's my view of it.
So what do you think the actual purpose of all of this is? It's obviously a policy, right? I mean, we're not securing the border. So there are people who don't want the border secured, and they do want these massive influx of immigrants. So why do you think the powers that be want our country to be completely, essentially demographically changed?
I'd be honest, Paul, I've been asking this from multiple city officials, and they just said, we want to get these people a new way of life. And I get it. You want to help people, and that's a noble thing to do, but they're not getting a better life here. They're getting a worse life, right? In some of my videos, we see them, like I said, sleeping on the floor like cattle, right, in the hot weather. You know, God forbid I didn't show up there, Paul, and took the footage. You know, we would have had one of these guys die outside, and then we would have had a riot out there. These guys would have bonded together, right? They would have started rioting. And that's not what we need. We're hurting ourselves right now. We have enough, right? There's enough coming into Texas. They should shut it down over there so Texas doesn't have to send them here. But New York is being overrun with migrants. And again, it's not helping anyone on either side. It's hurting both sides. And you have actually Democrat politicians upstate New York are telling Mayor Adams, we don't want this here. Now, Democrats are even speaking up against this. And you know what? I think people should take advantage of this. If Democrats are speaking up that this is a problem, maybe people should try to, like, understand how to fix this issue, you know?
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, I know Republicans were called, you know, racist and xenophobes for wanting a border wall. All of a sudden, that's not necessarily the case, or maybe in the minds of some New York Democrats. Maybe this could now all of a sudden become a bipartisan issue because unchecked, unfettered, illegal immigration is not good for this country. It's not good for any country. And the people of this country, we get to decide who gets to come here, how they get to come here. And this is a fact that used to be not a controversial fact. This was the way the nation state operated across the planet, you know, since forever. And now all of a sudden we have this push. Let me ask you this. Do you think it's a coincidence that almost every first world country is in the middle of an immigration crisis from third world, an invasion from the third world at the exact same time?
I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it's unintentionally. There's no such thing as coincidences, right? Especially in politics, right? There's always a reason why. And you know what? I still don't know the reason why, Paul. I'm still trying to figure out why is this happening. Right. It's like I said, we're not helping them. We're hurting them. Right. Even the migrants we're hurting the migrants and we're hurting the residents. So, look, maybe we'll find out later on why they're doing this. And I'm hoping I'll know before later on then why they're doing this. And hopefully we can get this fixed for Texas, for New York, for other states also. You know,
well, I mean, you know, the reason I'll just tell you my opinion, the reason they're doing this is because there are globalist forces that do not want the United States to have a national identity, and they want this country to collapse from within. I mean, that's a key, and they want to overwhelm the system. I mean, we've got reports of in Liberty County, Texas, you've got cartel money being used to buy up entire tracts of land to where now we're going to have, similar like London was, you know, 15 years ago. You started hearing in London about these no-go zones. We're going to have the same thing with these, Latin migrants, where there's going to be entire cities that are going to be governed by essentially foreign nationals and drug cartels right here in our own soil. Okay, I mean that to me is part of really just it's an all-out onslaught on the United States of America and our way of life and our values. What do you think? Am I wrong?
I don't know. I never looked into that. And I'd be honest. And if I did, I'd tell you. But I never looked into that. But if that does happen, if there's parts of American land that's taken over by cartel or drug mules or really bad people, I'm hoping the federal government will act fast. I'm hoping, right?
You would hope, right? I'm hoping.
Yeah, it would act fast and dismantle what's going on immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, under the Obama administration, it was so violent that instead of actually addressing the violence on the southern border, aside from trying to set up gun owners in Operation Fast and Furious in a false flag attempt to try to take guns away from them, they just posted signs on the interstate saying, hey, if you go this way, we can't really guarantee your safety, so you might want to take a detour. You know, instead of actually addressing the problem and doing something about it. And They are abdicating their responsibility to protect this country. And I believe with what's going on at the southern border, they're engaged in treason. Stu Peters has interviewed Michael Yon several times from down in Panama. He's been in the Dorian Gap. He's been trying to monitor a lot of charities, some of them purporting to be Christian charities, that are actually enabling these immigrants to come. They're being encouraged. There are advertisements saying come. You talk about, so your point, this is doing them a disservice because once they get here, they have a worse life. Not to mention some of these charities down there, Leroy, some of these charities are actually providing young women and girls with rape kits because they know they're going to get raped on the way. So there's a huge human trafficking component to this as well. Not to mention their end goal is worse off than it was, but they might have been, you know, raped the entire way up to the southern border. So we do not have the moral high ground here. And this is what's fascinating. And I know you kind of don't go right or don't go left. I know you said that. But, I mean, you know, all during the Trump administration, guys like me were called racist and xenophobes while, you know, as long as that border stays open, the sex trafficking of children flourishes and continues to flourish. And yet they claim they have the moral high ground when it's extremely clear that we actually have the moral high ground.
Look, I don't want any child being trafficking. I don't want any child being hurt, right? I don't want any of that. And unfortunately, people are getting hurt and the government needs to deal with that. You know, we can't just say, well, it's part of the business. People get hurt. That's not an answer for me. Right. It's all right. There's a problem. Fix it. Right. Yeah. We don't want kids getting hurt. And you're right. So Mayor Adams has been sending flyers to the border, leaflets, telling people not to come to New York City. I've seen them.
Good.
And then there's another group out there, which I don't know their name. They're passing out flyers telling people come to New York. We'll help you. So there's two different groups out there saying don't come. And there's a group saying come. Right, which is a little confusing. Like, why are these guys telling more and more? And who are these people telling them to come when the mayor's saying, we have no room for you? Right? It's a little confusing to me what's going on.
So, you know, you're a New York City resident. Have you lived in New York or the area your entire life?
I'm a native New Yorker. You can tell by my accent.
Okay, yeah, I could tell. You could probably tell I'm not from New York as well. Yeah. I'm from Arkansas. Did you ever think your city, that I'm sure you love, would descend into the state that it is right now? What did New York used to be like?
What did New York used to be like? It used to be less violent before some politicians came in. It used to be more peaceful. People used to know who their neighbors were, right? We used to wake up in the morning, you'll see people, and you know who they are. You were born and raised with them, right? They're a part of your family. Now we don't know who anybody is. And Paul, I never in a million years would think the city would look like this. And I'm a native New Yorker. And I've been here 45, 46 years. I have never seen this in my life. Never. I never seen full hotels being taken over by migrants. I never seen more than 50% of the hotels in New York are taken up by migrants, right? What about our tourist industry, right? Like I said, it comes a point where you want to help people, but it's actually hurting the country more than you want to help these people, right? And that's where I'm at right now. We're hurting our country more than we're helping these people.
So, Mayor Eric Adams, do you think he's about to be ostracized by his own party because he's calling out the dysfunction of their policies, of this open border policy? Or, I mean, you know, at some point, it seems to me a lot of times if people step out of line in the Democrat Party, they you know, they get ostracized real quick. I mean, how far is he going to go? Is he going to really continue to call out? Has he actually called anybody out? Is he genuine? Is what he's saying to Queens residents really reflective of what he's saying to state and federal officials?
Look, his party has turned. It looks like his party has turned against him for not handling the migrant crisis the way they wanted to handle the migrant crisis. He has been calling out President Biden and telling him, look, we need help. You keep sending these people here. We need help. I think he's genuine. I can see it in his face. He looks stressed. He looks like he ate something he shouldn't have eaten. And he looks stressed. And I think he's serious about trying to stop it. You know, and that's my thoughts. But I just think because of his party, he's not going as hard as he wants to go.
Wow. Viral News, NYC. Where can people find you on Twitter? Is that's where you post most of this really great investigative journalism documenting just the dysfunction of New York City? Give us your Twitter handle.
Sure. It's Viral News NYC on Twitter and Leroy Press on Twitter. Either
okay. All right. Leroy Press, Viral News NYC. Leroy, thank you so much. It's great meeting you, and it's been a pleasure. And thank you for coming on the Stu Peters Show.
Thank you, Paul. God bless you and your followers, bro.
Yes, sir. Folks, don't go anywhere. The Stu Peters Show rolls on next. And welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu. So President Trump was indicted for the fourth time on Monday. And by now, reality is setting in. This is what the rest of Trump's political career is going to revolve around. Trump is going to be permanently under siege. It will take a Herculean effort to defeat all four of these prosecutions, all of them brought in blue jurisdictions with blue jury pools. Even if Trump somehow does it, they will just invent another four cases and bring those against him as well. Even if Donald Trump overcomes all of these attacks to win the 2024 election in the face of rampant voter fraud and who knows what else, we already know what his administration will be like. A never-ending torrent of sabotage, disruption, defiance, and even outright treason by those beneath him. And on this show, you've heard Stu talk about this, about what needs to happen for Trump and for other conservative leaders like him who may emerge in the future. It's time for those remaining pockets of conservative America to forge themselves into proper sanctuary states against federal tyranny. The same way that blue states protect illegal immigrant criminals, we need to protect conservatives. We need governors who will step up and say, you know what, we're not going to acknowledge politically motivated indictments from corrupt blue state AGs or blue city DAs. We're going to ignore Jack Smith and treat him as the gangster in a suit that he actually is. We need these states to come into existence quickly, by the way, because it looks more and more like the plan is to trap Trump in a courtroom for all of 2024. In fact, they might go further and try to literally lock him up instead, or literally lock him up ahead of time on the grounds that he's a flight risk or engaged in witness intimidation. Derek Evans is a former member of the West Virginia House. He's now running for Congress, and he believes his home state of West Virginia could offer President Trump the sanctuary he needs from one indictment after another. And Derek Evans joins us now. Derek, welcome to the Stu Peters Show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. So I saw your tweet. I also have seen some publications about it. I saw a piece in National File about it. So what got you to this conclusion that states are going to have to start offering President Trump sanctuary?
Well, first of all, as most of you guys know, I have a unique experience in all of this because, you know, I was a sex political prisoner myself. And so I know what it's like dealing with all this. But to your point, you know, this is really just the Democrat playbook. That's their precedent that they set when they said, we're going to give sanctuary to illegal immigrants in this country. Well, if they can do that, then surely to goodness, Republicans can grow a backbone and offer sanctuary to our former elected President Trump, and who I believe won the 2020 election to begin with.
Well, yeah, he very much did. Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think something like that would look like? How would it exactly happen? Would it require governors, like I mentioned in the monologue, to step up and say, hey, you know, we're done with this federal tyranny?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's going to take. Look, I mean, right now we've got a bunch of politicians in office who just want to play patty cake politics. They want to sit in the country club sipping tea, doing absolutely nothing while the left is steamrolling our country. If they can do this to President Trump, they can do this to anyone. And it's going to take our Republican elected officials to grow a backbone and actually start taking the plays out of the playbook of the Democrats. Once again, this is not a unique suggestion. This is, we're just asking our Republican-led states to do exactly what the Democrat states and cities have been doing all along.
Yeah, man, I can't. This is the absolute meltdown of the corporate BlackRock-funded media. If this were to actually happen, would just be, unbelievable. It would be literally the next, Russia, 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 or J6. Speaking of J6 and the Fedsurrection, you mentioned it, you referenced it, that you had, basically were politically persecuted for being at the Capitol on January 6th. Can you tell us a little bit about your story?
Can you say it one more time? I'm sorry. I'm at the Election Crime Bureau Summit in Missouri right now. You know, it's amazing.
No.
3 years post the stolen election, and we're still having to fight for all these things going on right now. There's absolute election fraud, as we all know. Looking forward to President Trump dropping that next week. So, sorry, I got just a little noisy there for a second. I apologize about that. But like I said, we're still fighting to secure elections.
That's good, and I'm glad to know that. And I was going to say, tell the audience about your experience on J6. I know you were politically persecuted for being at the Capitol on J6.
Yeah, so look, I was the only elected legislator in the entire country who had the courage to stand up and peacefully protest that day. As you mentioned, I was an elected member of the West Virginia State House. I was peaceful, nonviolent, and non-destructive. I walked through an open set of doors. Thanked a police officer for his service. The same police officer gave me a friendly fist bump, inviting me into the building. I spent less than 10 minutes inside the public rotunda area. Thanked the police officer again and walked out the same set of doors I entered, only to find myself in the crosshairs of the same weaponized deep. They ripped me away from my wife and my 4 young children. They held me hostage as a January 6th prisoner. I was facing 24 years in prison, all for everything I just told you. You don't have to take my word for it. I would encourage everyone to go to my social media, True Social, Getter, Twitter, you name it. I have the video pinned to the top of my Twitter feed so you can watch it for yourself. And this is that we alluded to earlier. I'm now running for Congress. Because it's important we get patriots to step up and run for office instead of these spineless jellyback rhinos who are representing the red district country right now. We need true patriots who have the courage, the guts, and the backbone to stand up and say, we're going to actually fight back in this battle to save our republic.
You mentioned that you're in Missouri and you are at, what is it again? It's an election symposium of some kind?
Yeah, there's an Election Crime Bureau Summit thing here where we're talking about election fraud in general and how we can actually work to save that. Look, if election is important to you, and it should be important to every American, because we got to secure our elections as a matter of national security. That's the only way to save our country moving forward, because if we don't, it doesn't matter what we think or anything else, because we're never going to get our ideas past the ballot box in order to save our country. So, I'm here right now on the ground continuing to fight for election integrity. They tried to silence myself and the other January 6th prisoners and to make examples out of us to scare everyone else into accepting this tyranny. And I'm not going to let them use me as that example. I went through standing up and speaking out. The election was stolen, and there's nothing they can do to change my opinion or change that was actually stolen.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Are there, at this this event that you're at, are there any solutions being put out there about how we actually stop this? I know some people are saying, well, we just need to be as good of ballot harvesters as the other side is. And my argument to that is, like, and feel free to disagree with me, but if the Republicans engage in this ballot harvesting, they're just going to arrest us. Like, they're just like they're doing to Donald Trump or they did to you. They'll just arrest us for, harvesting ballots. But in terms of fraud, like, what do we do? How do we actually fix this? I mean, you have to fix it from the state legislatures. And I don't know if there's been enough done between the last election and this one to actually make a difference. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I agree with you 100% as far as, you know, that goes. Not only would they arrest all of us, they've already done that, but not only would they do that, they would they will always find more ballots than we do because they have control of everything. So the only way to really secure elections is paper ballots, hand-counted, transparently to where everyone can watch it, live stream the count. I don't care. That way everybody can see it. There's full transparency. We can accept the results and move forward. So at this summit today, it's a two-day event, so today is primarily speaking about where each state stands, the all these issues going on, and tomorrow, the second day, is really where we're going to get into, you know, what can be done about this to solve these things. But in my opinion, it all starts with us as Republicans, us as conservatives, in our primaries, to stop electing rhinos, stop electing cowards, stop electing these people who just are spineless at the end of the day. We've got, this is not a time for weak politicians. This is a time for patriots to step up. And look, if you don't have anyone in your district across, you're out there watching this right now, step up, be that patriot, step up and run for office in your community, because that's what it's going to take right now. If we want to, the politicians are what got us in this mess. It's going to take the patriots to step up, people who don't even want the job, to step up and actually make these changes, because it's going to come with sacrifice. That's all there is to it. Just accept that and let's go move forward and save our country.
It feels an awful lot like the United States of America is being occupied by basically a foreign government. I mean, we're under an illegal occupation for sure. These indictments, 1, 2, 3, 4, especially this fourth one where they're essentially trying to criminalize the freedom of speech, criminalize Trump telling somebody to go watch a hearing on OAN, and there's a lot of other things in there. It seems like this is an attempt to complete the coup, to complete the communist coup. I'd like to get your thoughts on that. If we fail here, if they succeed in taking President Trump off the ballot with this lawfare, or if they succeed by putting him in jail or preventing him from running for president in any way, this country, as we know, I mean, it really is over, right? It's over, if that's the case.
No, I was just going to agree with you. I mean, look, we are living under a communist country right now, a communist regime. I mean, that's just all there is to it. We're having selections instead of elections. If this was taking place in any other country right now, America would be used and all these other things to try to prevent these things from taking place in other countries. So why are we allowing it to happen in our country? I 100% feel this way. And I can tell you, went through not just through getting arrested for JNX, but the entire court system. This whole thing is more corrupt than anyone could even imagine right now. We are 100% on the verge. I don't know if we're fully occupied, but we're on the verge of just losing our country. It's way worse than people can imagine. It's past time to stand up and start exercising our freedom of speech.
Derek Evans, you are a Republican candidate for House in West Virginia. Tell people where they can find more about you and your campaign if they want to help out.
Yeah, you can find me on social media, Twitter, Getter, True Social, all those places. You can also go to evansforwv.com. I tell everyone, look, this is not my campaign. This is our campaign. If you're looking for the candidate or an opportunity to say F you to the government, basically, I'm the guy who can do that for you, because there's two candidates across this country right now who understand this weaponization of government and the persecution the way that I do. It's myself and President Trump. And I promise you right now, I'm not going there to make friends. The only reason I'm running is we have a country to save. So if you want to help out, go to evansforwv.com. Send a message that we are sick and tired of this taking place, and let's go save America.
All right. Derek Evans, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on the Stu Peters Show. Folks, don't go anywhere.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Back in just a moment. And welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu. So America, thank God, still has a few red states. They aren't perfect, but they offer some sanctuary from the pervasive tyranny of the left that is wrecking civilization whenever it appears. But even within red states, most of them are cursed with big blue cities. Left to their own devices, those cities do what blue cities will do. They become cesspools of crime, degeneracy, decay, and failure. They shove CRT and tranny ideology into schools. They put criminals on the streets and hire some of those criminals to be police officers. And I know that happened in Memphis. I saw those headlines. And of course, they put drag queens into the libraries because in the new religion of blue America, trannies and other LGBT freak shows might as well be the high priests of our society. Will Johnson is a social media personality and Christian activist. He's the host of Culture Wars on LFA-TV, and he recently was on the front lines of the battle between good and evil in Austin, Texas. Austin recently put on one of the most vile, vomit-inducing pride parades seen since the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. There were men in Barbie outfits, there were women whipping their breasts out in public, and of course, there were children brought both to watch and be a part of the parade itself. School children were encouraged to attend. Will was there to witness against it, asking questions of the crowd as a born-again Christian. Will's questions got him jeered, shunned, pushed around, and ignored. But we aren't going to ignore him. Will joins us now. Welcome to the Stu Peter Show, sir.
Hey, glad to be here.
Absolutely. Okay, so first of all, tell Stu's audience a little bit about how you got involved in these confrontations. I mean, that's really what they are. I mean, these trans pride parades, they go on, and you know, if a Christian is there in any sort of organized fashion, I mean, they just revolt.
Yeah. So there's actually a local, I'm gonna call them a local militia group here in the state of Texas. And I got their contact information by going to a school board meeting, and they told me about the event, but they didn't tell me that it was a gay pride. I had no idea, and I've been in Texas for 4 years now. I had no idea that they have this humongous sodomy, horrible parade pride, right? So I went down there thinking I'm just going down there to support him because they're going to have speakers and stuff. And lo and behold, they're having this, I mean, thousands of people show up for this craziness. And I'm glad I took my camera because I was like, okay, let's just go. I didn't know. And I got there. I'm like, okay, this is what this is about. And of course, like you said, they attack Christians. They hate everything. They hate the straight white male. You're like number one on their list.
I
love it. So when I show up, and I knew something was telling me, go ahead and put my Christian nationalist t-shirt on, which I sell on my website, right? I designed that shirt myself and I put it on my website because Christ comes first for me, right? So I went down there, and of course they're looking at my t-shirt and they're all getting triggered by my shirt. They don't like it, and they see a black dude, so they don't know how to really react. Because supposedly black people are supposed to be on their side when it comes to this insanity, this perversion that they're pushing, and that's not the case.
Yeah, you know, tomorrow I'm filling in for Stu again, and I'm actually going to be interviewing Stephen Wolf, who wrote the book, The Case for Christian Nationalism. So what I loved about your, I'd call it culture jamming is what you were essentially doing. A lot of these people in the video that I saw, they just didn't even want to talk to you. They saw that you had the Christian nationalist t-shirt on, and they said, I'm not even going to talk to this. I'm not even going to talk to this guy. And then you started saying, well, what is it? Because I'm black? You don't want to talk to me because I'm black? that was great. That was good trolling.
I know how they think, right? Because I've been to enough of these events where these crazy leftists are at these places and they're talking to white people. You've heard of Ben Burkram, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So Ben Burkram, he's my wingman. We used to go everywhere when I lived in California. And when it first dawned on me is that when we would go to different events, he'd be standing right next to me and they would walk past me and go directly to him. You're racist. You're racist. And he said, I'm standing here with Will. How am I racist? So I know what it is. It is because I'm black, because they can't push that racist narrative. When they do, they look stupid, and they know they look stupid. That's why they don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
So I just throw it back in their face, 100%.
Yeah, you know, those inconsistencies for the liberal leftist woke mind, they don't know how to, you know, compute that. It literally just totally jams up their NPC programming, if you will. What do you think about the, I mean, all joking aside, I mean, the video was good, and we need people like you. We need people like you going out there and drawing attention to this nonsense. We cannot remain silent. Too many of us do remain silent. We've got to continue speaking the truth about this debauchery. But honestly, the public nudity, the essentially exposing genitals in front of children, these people need to be arrested. This is indecent exposure. We clearly have laws against this, but because they're waving the rainbow flag, literally, you know, they're saying we cannot be judged, we cannot be prosecuted, we cannot be arrested. We have created essentially a special class of people that don't have to abide by the laws that we all have to abide by.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And their rainbow has six colors, where God's rainbow has seven colors. And a lot of people don't know that. I found that out 20 years ago because I started looking at it and started counting them. I said, wow, okay, look at this. This is really interesting. But you're absolutely right. These people should be arrested. And the perversion, they're exposing themselves, the genitals out in the street, showing their breasts and everything. This used to be against the law. And when children are, okay, so like if you're at a resort or whatever and it's just nothing but adults, or even if it's just an event, just nothing but adults, do your thing. I guess I'm kind of libertarian in that sense, but because God gave us free will to do whatever stupid things that we want to do, I'm not going to come and take that right from someone else. I don't want them to take it from me. But when you have kids involved, you're talking about a different perversion. You're talking about something that's completely different. Kids should not be subject to this perversion that they're pushing onto them. They shouldn't be subject to that. Let kids be kids. When I was growing up, when you were growing up, we didn't have this perversion in schools. Now, they've been talking about, oh, so-and-so is gay. We just make fun of it and move on. Right? I mean, we did
that's
that
all a hate, the time. That's a hate crime now, though.
Yeah, now it's a hate crime. But we all did that. It was like no one thought anything about it. Oh, ha-ha, yeah, you're gay, whatever, move on. But now, again, it is considered a hate crime. And that's because things that used to be considered evil are now considered good. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm pretty sure you've heard this. And everything that's been considered good is now evil. But they did that on purpose. And their purpose is because they want to target children. They want children to be just like them when they get older. And let me say this too real quick. Their whole MO is to indoctrinate kids at such a young age, so when they become our age, they'll say it's always been this way.
Yeah.
There's nothing out of the ordinary. This is normal. When I was born, there was an airplane in the sky. So when I look up, I'm not surprised. Oh, look at this.
Yeah, you know, the same thing goes with, you know, the people that were born after September the 11th or after the shoe bomber, you know, where all of a sudden they could stick, the TSA could stick their hands down your pants. I mean, we got a whole generation of kids that, you know, think that that is the normal relationship between the government and the citizen, is that they just get to violate your personal space. And so that line, these little lines, there's incrementalism, they're going to let the government potentially do even more, much like force you to wear a mask, force you to get a vaccine. I mean, if they can grope you in the TSA line, then they can also, you know, force you to get a vaccine. It's not that big of a deal. But if you took, you know, my grandfather who fought in World War II, if you took him, you know, coming back from the war as his 20-something-year-old self and just dropped them in our society, there would be trouble overnight. I mean, there would be people, you know, they wouldn't be able to do all of this. I mean, people would take matters into their own hands, quite frankly. Let me push back just a little bit on something you said on the libertarian front, because I used to be myself. I considered myself a libertarian, you know, and the live and let live mentality, you know, I thought it was fine. But two things that I've realized, and again, I could change my mind if there's different, you know, data in front of me, you know, in the coming years. But two things I've realized: the live and let live philosophy is only one way. It's only from, you know, conservative libertarians, because the other side, certainly they don't want us to live as Christians, and they want to, you know, prevent that from happening. So they're not even keeping up that end of the bargain. But for argument's sake, let's say that they did. Let's say that they say, okay, live and let live. You go have your Christian town and we'll go have our pagan city and we can somehow coexist, blah, 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 which is going to be very difficult when they think they have the moral high ground because they want little girls to be able to go to the bathroom with men. We really can't. We can't work on tax policy if we're expected to negotiate with people across the table who think, you know, men can be women and men can have babies. But from where I stand, adopting the live and let live mentality, even among adults, has led us to having to accept, okay, parents taking their kids to drag shows. And I feel like that's, and if that's the deal, like if that's the deal, I'm rejecting that. I'm rejecting libertarianism. If libertarianism means that I have to go and accept, you know, a kid getting puberty blocking hormones because his mom and dad think it's healthcare, I think I'm going to I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit and reconsider. Anyway, just a friendly conversation. What do you think about that?
I can elaborate on that. And I agree with you. See, the problem is that we believe that God gave us free will, and we believe that you should be able to do what you want to do. But the problem with that is that we believe it, like you just said, but they don't. They believe that we should adhere to everything that they say, that, you know, homosexuality is a good thing. It's natural, when we want to say it's not, when we know that it's not. When parents are taking their kids to these dragon queen, I call them dragon queens because they are of their father, Satan, the dragon.
Yeah, that's good.
So the parents are taking their kids to these dragon queen events. They should be, it should be considered child abuse, because they're taking them to the, and exposing them to this perversion. So I completely agree with you on that. And again, it's just, it's like a, it's our fault. And I'm going to say it this way. It's our fault for not speaking up enough in the past, because we saw this coming. People saw this coming. I remember when Michelle Obama, or Michael Obama, however you look at it, right after they left the White House, a library popped up in L.A. And the first one of the first book readings that they had in there was with this dragon queen with these humongous horns, looking like a straight demonic demon. And it's the Michelle Obama Library in L.A. And I'm like, this is 100% demonic. I guess my biggest thing is that, again, God gave us free will. I may not like some of the things that some people do, but is it okay for me to go and say, you need to stop it? It should be okay for me to say, you need to stop it. Should I be able to force him to stop it? That's a different.
Well, I mean, we certainly agree. Right? Well, I would say we certainly agree for kids, right? You mentioned child abuse. So here's, this is where we agree. This is the next big battle. I call them Christian red states, right? And I'm doing that because I really do believe they're Christian, because I think there's a lot of genuine Christians in the states who have elected Christian legislators who are going to their capitals, and they're stopping the trans lifestyle from being able to be forced onto children, right? And that's why I know where it's coming from, or at least in my home state. But where we agree is the child abuse, and this is the next big battle, because you know you can block kids from getting, you know, chemically castrated. You can block the trans surgeries and everything else, but parents are still free to take their kids to California or New York and have it done. And what we have to do is, and this is good, the GOP, the rhinos in the GOP, they're going to fight this. The donors are going to fight this. They already are. In fact, I think in Texas, in your state, we've got to open the child abuse statutes, and we're going to put these things under those statutes. And so if these parents think that they're going to be able to do this kind of abuse to their children and then come back here, come back to these, they're wrong, because they're literally mutilating their children and calling it health care and conforming to some sort of sex religion. And and we have to stop it. And we can, as governments, as a society, we are able to hold something up and say that it's bad, say that it's wrong, and say that it's against the law. We're also able to reward good. So, you know, that's the way I see it. Governments need to reward good and punish evil. And back to what you said earlier, we're not doing that. We're doing the opposite of that. We are rewarding evil, and we are punishing the good.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I've even made a comment saying that if you're going to take your child out of Texas and take them to California and mutilate them and then come back, you should be arrested as soon as you cross state lines.
Yes.
I mean, because it's illegal here. So what is it to stop me to go into another state and murdering somebody and then coming back? It's the same thing with abortion laws. You go to another state, murder that child, and you come back, oh, I'm free and clear. No.
Yeah.
You need to go to prison because you murder somebody. And you know, and I'm in agreement with you. It's just, again, it's just the whole thing about when it comes to free will, and it's like I guess there's a fine line there. When it comes to everything that's evil, perversion, I say speak up against it. I say no to it, you know, because I put Christ first, and that's the reason why I have my T-shirt, Christian Nationalist, because I truly believe that Christ is the head of everything, and then the home, and then your country, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But if we don't stand up for our children and say no to every single thing that they're doing to the kids in the schools, when it comes to the playground, even perverts showing up at playground, showing their genitals, and the cops know about it and they're not even arresting them any longer. They used to get arrested. If we don't say no to this, then we're going to lose our country 20 years from now, probably even sooner than that. I'm kind of, you know, exaggerating because it's probably going to be 5 years, you know, seriously, it's probably going to be 5 years from now. But I'm just talking about the youth right now that are, you know, 5, 10 and 20 years from now, it's just going to be a completely different America if we even have an America.
I think if we even have an American, that really are the stakes right now. I was texting a friend. We were exchanging some articles this morning, and it's just nuts what people are saying. You know, it was the female or the biological male competing in the female weightlifting competition. It's like, how do we survive this when nobody will speak up? When nobody will, you know, say the truth and stop this nonsense, stop this madness from happening? I don't know what the answer is. I will tell you this. I'd love to get your thoughts on this fourth indictment of President Donald Trump.
Before you go to that, can I make one statement?
Yeah, go for it.
You know, so you're talking about them swimming, the men swimming in the swim meets and competing in these different girl sports. People going along with that have lost their minds. That's the state that we're living in. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. It's just like it was in the days of Noah. This perversion is running rampant, and people have lost their minds because they've been taken over by a demonic spirit. 100% been taken over by a demonic spirit. And most of them don't even know it. When I went to an event here in Austin, Texas, and I was talking to this lady because they were there supporting all the trans and everything. And I started talking directly to this lady. And I said, you know what? I'm not talking to the lady. I'm talking to the demonic spirit that's in you. And she looked up at me and she just got really angry. And I said, that's the spirit I'm talking about. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And because that's what we need to do. We need to address this issue because parents and people and teachers going along with this stupidity, we're losing our minds. And then they talk about mental health issues. Come on, give me a break.
Well, I mean, you know, to your point, Ellen Page, the, I guess, I don't know, she calls herself Elliot now, and she had her breast removed, and she became, you know, this trans. And she said, people are like, how did you do this? Well, she said, it started by me. I heard a voice. That's how it started. I heard a voice, and you can go look up what she said about how she got the idea that she needed to remove her breast in an attempt to become a man, which obviously is ridiculous. You know, you bring up Christian nationalism, Will, and I will say this. There's a lot of different people that have different terms or different ideas of what that means. The left, I think, coined it originally as a term of derision. And people are embracing it because they're actually saying, no, actually, yeah, Jesus Christ is Lord. As a matter of fact, on Twitter the other day, that term was trending. And there was somebody on Twitter who criticized Elon Musk for allowing it to trend because it was, he said it was, quote, an anti-Semitic phrase. And then, of course, everybody just piled on and started saying Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. But wherever you are on this Christian nationalist perspective, even if you don't like the phrase, as far as the left is concerned, if you are a Christian and believe in Jesus Christ and you believe in voting as well, as far as they're concerned, you're a Christian nationalist. So we better just embrace it and have the debate and figure out a way to save our country. What steps we need to do to save our country? Go ahead.
Yeah, and one of the biggest things they say at Christian nationalists is that you're a white supremacist. Like, what? This is like the most idiotic thing. And that's the reason why I wear the shirt, because that's not the case. It just means that people put Christ first. And, you know, the whole thing with nationalists. And I'm like, when I first started hearing the left talking about nationalists, and I'm like, okay, let me go look this word up, nationalist, because I had no idea. Well, it just means that you put your country first. Mm-hmm. So guess what? I'm a black nationalist in America. I'm a black American nationalist. Oh my goodness. And if you're white and you're nationalist, it means you put your country first. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That is the stupidity of the left. They try to change the definition of everything. Like they try to change the rainbow. They try to change the word gay. Remember the Flintstones, the gay old time. They change everything because they're evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up definitions, because that is really where a lot of the battlefield is, that we don't realize. And we gave up definitions a long time ago, and we see where we are now. For example, when we adopted the word heterosexual, I mean, that didn't come from straight people. That came from gay people trying to describe us other than normal. Like, they didn't want to use the word normal, so they had to use the word heterosexual instead
of
normal.
And now it's cis man.
Yeah, and now it's cis man. That's exactly right. I mean, we have lost, and I'll say this, in any functioning society, you can't have two dictionaries, right?
Right.
So we only have one, and the left has been able to edit and redefine words now for decades, and we are reaping the fruits of it.
But that's your truth.
That's right. That's right. It's that DA. It's that DA prosecutor in Georgia. That's her truth that Donald Trump, you know, committed all these crimes. So on this, you know, you say, is our country gonna make it? I don't see how if they are successful in preventing him from running, preventing him from being on the ballot, or even if they just tie him up in court for the entire election season next year. I mean, the communist coup is complete at that point. If it's not already, I don't see how the country survives something like that. What do you think?
No, I completely agree. I said in 2020, I said if they successfully remove President Trump, he could very well be the last decent president to ever walk through the White House doors. And they're working overtime to make that the case. Now, every time they indict President Trump, he just gets more support. He's going to be sitting in court. And people are going to be paying more attention to that than anyone on the campaign trail. No one's going to care. This is going to be the first election, in my opinion, in American history where no one's going to pay attention to who's on the campaign trail except for the rhinos, the establishment, and these Democrats. That's the only ones going to be paying attention to it. But even then, you're going to have the government state media, because that's what they are, they're going to be paying attention to President Trump in court, too. They're not going to be paying that much attention to that unless they go, well, we're not going to go to President Trump. Or, you know, this is how it's going to play out. If they do televise it, right, every time Trump's lawyer is talking or if Trump ever says anything, they're going to cut away. But every time they go after President Trump, they'll tune into that. Oh, listen to this. Listen to this. They won't let you hear both sides of the story, just like they did J6.
Yeah. No, that's true. I hadn't thought about that. And if for some reason they, you know, if Trump really is able to pivot these trials and use it as some sort of success. If they do televise him, which they would be stupid to televise him for that very reason right there, because they want Trump isolated. They don't want Trump to be able to present his case to the people at all. But if he were to do that, you know, I think they're going to try to lock him up. I really do. And that's why you have, you know, guests like we were just talking to, congressional candidate from West Virginia, Derek Evans, who's saying, look, conservative red states need to start creating sanctuary environments in their states from federal tyranny for somebody like Donald Trump to where, you know, he can't be arrested. And I know what that means. I know the standoff that would happen. But these people are an occupying force. They're literally communists, and they what they are doing is tyranny really doesn't even begin to describe it, but they're completely destroying the Constitution. There's no point in having a Constitution if they're going to do what they did to Donald Trump, is just on the free speech side of things in the First Amendment when it comes to this latest indictment. And you have all of these, what they're calling, you know, novel legal theories in order to be able to charge them in the first place. It's just a complete witch hunt.
You're absolutely right. You know, these are the same people that said that the U.S. Constitution is an out-of-date document or it needs to be revised, right? In their image, they want to remove everything that gave us our freedoms today. Every last one of us, they want to remove it. And for them to do this to President Trump, which has never happened in the history of this country, I truly believe that they're trying to push our buttons. You know, because think about it. You remember the Summer of Love 2020? The violence that went throughout the entire country, and it was driven by those on the left. You had Kamala Harris, you know, Nancy Pelosi, all of them encouraging people to go out there and riot. Remember George Floyd, right? It was supposed to be about George Floyd. But George Floyd was just the trigger. George Floyd had nothing to do with it. It was political pressure that they wanted to push on the governors and politicians and even police departments to go along with this tyranny. But conservative Christians, we don't ever do that. We don't ever go out and destroy anything. And they constantly say that it's always white people, white nationalists going out attacking Asian people. And it's never been that. It's been black people attacking Asian people, just like that story fell apart. So they're pushing our buttons with President Trump because they know that we support President Trump. They know that we know that what they're doing is wrong. They're trying to rile us up to start being violent so they can turn around and say, see, see, we told you these Christian nationalists, they're the violent ones. These white supremacists, they're the violent ones. These Republicans, they're the violent ones. That's what they're pushing for. And sadly, I think they're going to get what they don't want because they keep pushing for it. They think they want it, but in the end, they're not going to want it.
Yeah, do they really? Well, and they obviously tried that with the Fed's erection and the frame job, you know, the basically the Uniparty's version of the Reichstag fire is what that was. And that, you know, that narrative stuck for a little while, but now it's been blown up, you know, and the majority of the country knows there were federal provocateurs in the crowd fomenting it, you know, and letting people in and everything else. And there's going to be even more that's going to eventually come out about this, we hope. You know,
well,
you can't rely on Kevin McCarthy to really release all the tapes. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you know, President Trump, he has subpoena power after the January 6th, right? He has subpoena power. Then they miraculously delete 1.5 terabyte of data that President Trump's lawyer was going to reach out for. Oh, we don't have it. It's just gone. Shouldn't the case just be thrown out? The same thing like this new case in Georgia. They released the indictment, you know, to the public before they actually got it from the grand jury. How does that happen?
Yep.
Shouldn't it just be thrown out? This is a banana republic that they're turning our country into.
100%. You're right. Will Johnson, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the Stu Peters Show. Let's give your Twitter handle so people can get more information and watch your show.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Mr. Will Johnson on Twitter. At Mr. Will Johnson. I'm Mr. Will Johnson.
All right, folks, give him a follow. Will, it's great to meet you, sir. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, same here.
All right, folks, that's all the time we have for the Stu Peters Show. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you tomorrow.